program this morning will be by Cindy Hawk on the health of women and children in Afghanistan. And welcome, Cindy. I'll set up the slide screen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today. I'm delighted to see so many people here who are concerned and interested in the situation in Afghanistan. And what I'm going to do is share with you a bit of a journey that we took last fall. I had the chance to be invited to join a team going to Afghanistan by the United States Department of Health and Human Services, led by, as you know, former Governor Tommy Thompson. And I'll give you a little background, and then I'll show you some pictures. We may need to put down at least the blinds in the front of the room so you can see better. But let me start with a little bit of background and maybe a couple of questions as to why is this of interest to Prairie. I was thinking a little bit about the bond of union and the idea of interconnectedness. And I think that there's nothing that, for me, illustrates the importance of interconnectedness more than the situation in Afghanistan. And actually, just a few years ago, many Americans would have said, why the heck should we care about Afghanistan and what's going on there? And as we know, it's had a profound impact on the situation in this country and indeed on our daily lives. And so I will invite you to reflect on that as we talk today, because I guess the question I have for you, for this congregation, and really for the United States, the people of the United States, is what indeed is our responsibility towards Afghanistan and so many parts of the world where there is injustice and a lack of opportunity, and what might we be able to do about it? Does it matter? Do we care? And then, so what? So I'll have you think about those things as I talk today. Let me just start with a little bit more introduction and tell you a little bit about my work, and then we'll have some time for questions, because this isn't a real packed with content presentation today. Over the last couple years, I've had the wonderful opportunity to become Director of International Health for the University of Wisconsin. And what this means is I have the chance to really try to coordinate development of international health projects, curricula, research, partnerships for the medical school, and we're also working very collaboratively with the School of Nursing and Pharmacy and Veterinary Medicine, as well as campus and international studies and undergraduate programs, study abroad. So it's really brought me into an arena that I love. I feel like I'm in my element. I'm doing what I've always wanted to do, but done it on my free time. Now I actually have a job where I can do what I love and really feel is important and quite valuable. We've got a group working at the university from the four schools I mentioned in campus coming together. It's the International Health Advisory Committee to say, what do we do? Why should we care? And how might we connect with problems around the world? So we've been meeting for a couple of years to try to develop and map out curriculum and research projects and partnerships. And it was in this context, in my job as leader, that basically Tommy Thompson called the chancellor and said, you know, we got a situation in Afghanistan, can't you help? You know, what can you do from the University of Wisconsin? And the chancellor, of course, calls the dean of the medical school to say, do something, you know. The dean calls me and says, do you want to go to Kabul? And I said, well, I don't know, you know, what would this mean? And, you know, of course, I'd love to if we could help, but I need to know more about what are the possibilities. And basically about a year of phone calls and emails and kind of roundabout happened. Initially, it was a request from the United States government to say, there's a crisis in Afghanistan. The United States wants to do something to help. And so we're looking for volunteers and donations, and what might you send? And perhaps the university could go through the library and find old books to send along. And so I'm listening to this, and kind of I know the situation in Afghanistan because I worked there in 1989 and 90 in northern Pakistan to help the Afghan refugees. And at that time, during the war. There were millions of refugees in Pakistan, and services were very suboptimal. So I'd had a chance to work with Afghan refugees previously. I knew the direness of the situation, and in fact had been heartbroken by the persistent civil war, the coming to power of the Taliban, and actually the situation in Afghanistan going from bad to worse. So for years I'd been watching and waiting to see when and how I might be able to help again, and knowing that indeed the situation was so dangerous and precarious that had I gone to Afghanistan, I certainly may not have survived because of the trouble that was going on. And so when I got the call and I heard the government was trying to help, starting to help, and of course this is in the context of a war having happened and the Taliban being driven out of power, I felt now there's really an opportunity to help and actually to do something substantive. That wasn't really what I was hearing from the government in terms of donating old library books. I said, I don't think that's really going to address the problem. And if you're serious about helping, and if you're really interested in looking at substantial programmatic development to address the health of women and children, to be involved in education and development in a sustainable fashion that's going to make a meaningful difference, then we're interested in talking. But I don't think sending old books is really going to make much of a difference. And so, to make a long story short, that brought us to the point in which Dr. Doug Lowby, who's the chairman of obstetrics and gynecology, and I went to Washington last summer to meet with the director of Health and Human Services, because what was rising to the very top was a concern by our government and the Afghan interim government that maternal mortality, that is women dying in childbirth in Afghanistan, is indeed higher now than has ever been recorded anywhere in the history of the world. And this crisis in terms of maternal mortality, nearly 1 in 12 women dying in childbirth, was considered a horrendous shame by the Afghan government, the interim government, by the U.S. government, who's trying to assist, saying, we will help you, we'll get the Taliban out, and now what? What can we do to help? And certainly the situation of maternal mortality was considered one of the top priorities and a very urgent need to make a difference. And so the United States Health and Human Services was invited to say, what can you do? What can the United States do to help address this problem? And that is linking up with the Afghan Ministry of Health, with the medical schools, with the leading teaching hospitals, to see if something could be done to make a difference as quickly and efficiently as possible. So now let me show you.
Time for a few questions.
Okay. Around the world, what we've learned in terms of fertility and contraception is that families are more likely to have children when there's a high child mortality rate. When they know a lot of children are dying, they're more likely to want to have more children to replace those that are dying. And it's a very complex dynamic, but simply making contraception available is not enough. If contraception is linked to opportunities for education, for employment, for improved child survival of the children you already have, then it's much more likely to be effective. So looking at family and fertility in the context of overall development. And I think that the education will probably go a long way as girls are educated and as the economy provides opportunities for women to do other things and for women to even make choices about contraception, let alone having access to contraception. All that has to fit together. But that's a real important point. Let me just say that Islam does not prohibit contraception. I think Islam has been very much misunderstood and used as a tool of oppression, but very much distorted. And so that's not the problem. Poppy is a big issue. In fact, 50% of the GNP of Afghanistan is linked to poppy production. And the folks at the Ministry of Education and Economics say, right now we need the money. And actually what they have to do is find ways to develop alternatives to poppies so that farmers and people in the rural areas can get income. And that's where we're looking at how do we help in terms of the areas of agricultural development and production. But poppy is a very big issue. Luckily, there's not a big issue of drug addiction in Afghanistan. It's really been mostly shipped out. But it is still present and growing. Okay. The causes, and I could go into detail, but it's number one is hemorrhage, postpartum hemorrhage, basically bleeding to death. Number two is toxemia, eclampsia. Number three is obstructed labor and basically no place to get a cesarean. So if you have an obstructed labor and there's no cesarean available, you and the baby usually will die. And so three-quarters of the country does not have operative capacity for delivery. So it's really these three things, and they're pretty simple to treat and take care of. That's right. And that's also happening. That's happening. There's kind of massive training, but the point is you've got to have the capacity to do a cesarean delivery, or those women who are obstructed are going to die. Or you've got to be able to give a blood transfusion. If you don't have any blood, you can't give a transfusion. So it kind of goes on and on. Okay. Access to clean water is a big problem, a very big problem in much of the country. Probably only about 30% of the country now has access to clean drinking water. And as you can imagine, that adds to diarrhea and everything else. So that's a kind of civil engineering issue that's also underway. In terms of what exactly we're going to do, you know, the problem is way bigger than what the University of Wisconsin itself can address on all levels. But we are submitting basically a proposal to work with Afghanistan for the next 5 years to develop curricula and training for OBGYN physicians, because that's what we've been asked to really target our efforts towards. There's lots of other work going on at the midwife, community health outreach levels through UNICEF and so forth, but what isn't happening by anyone else right now is training for physicians and nurses within the hospital context. So that's where we're going to target our efforts, because we have the expertise to help in that way. But it needs to be connected to all these other things that are happening. We probably have time for just a couple. Well, how much more time do we have? Okay, a couple more? Yeah. Right. Well, this is very complex, and I think let me just say that I still have a lot of ambivalence about much of what the United States is doing around the world is not very productive, and in fact I think is increasing our insecurity and hatred towards Americans. But I have to say that being in Afghanistan and seeing what's happening now gave me a great sense of hope and possibility for Afghanistan. And as much as I'm for the most part a pacifist and opposed to war and bombing, I don't think that there's anything else that would have gotten the Taliban out of power besides forcefully removing them. I'm not sure that anyone else would have done that, or it could have gone on for decades longer. And I think the possibility for Afghanistan to move forward is really because the United States took action. I still have mixed feelings about it, but nevertheless, it was, in my opinion, the most egregious violation of human rights against women anywhere in the world. And so I'm glad that that's no longer the case. Well, basically there is not a national government that's in charge. It's still very much tribal, and because there are no roads and communication systems, each area is kind of under its own control. There are warlords and different things happening. So there is not yet a central, stable government. There is not peace. There's not a national, even, sense of identity. So what's happening in Kabul is different from different areas. I only hope that the international community can stay involved long enough to get Afghanistan to a place where it is truly stable. And that may take decades yet for that to happen. So, thanks very much.